SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Yeah, so he gets the extra coverage, just continues to look ridiculous. He's only two behind Schwarber there, so I kind of still think I don't know what the number looks like right now, and I don't remember if it was either FanDuel or DraftKings, so if anyone wants to go look, but there was that bet of just home runs, and it was Judge at the top, and then Ohtani was 4-8-1 on Ohtani. Still feels really great. Still feels really, really great as he's hitting 308 with 12 homers and a 400 OBP.
Schwarber and Judge at 14, Eugenio at 12, Ohtani at 12, Raleigh at 12. So
yeah.
And Corbin at 11.
Corbin's there. I mean, I want to bet on the high average guys with the power. That's why Judge makes sense. And that's why I like that. Ohtani's the best odds type of bet for me, unless Schwarber just keeps going. RBI, you've got 12 from Freddie Freeman. Ohtani had 10, 8, Buxton, Devers, and Carlos Santana. You know, let's go Buxton real quick because
I know, dude. I was kind of regretting that, like watching Buxton. But this year is like it's finally the year come off of Buxton.
Yeah.
And he's of course having
absolute no interest in Buxton. 264, 9 homers, 8 stolen bases. XBA is low. It's 243, so there's like some regressive stuff in there, but that goes with the hardest hit percentage he's ever had in his career. The second best barrel percentage he's ever had in his career. He's getting the ball. I mean, everything looks really good. He is striking out a ton, though. So that's why, like, you know, you're going to kind of regress down. But I mean, I don't know. I'm looking here like he's kind of hitting across the board. He's doing damaging on breaking pitches and fastballs. He's his pull air percentage is 30.9%. That's like one of the best in the league. And his zone contact percentage is up a tiny bit, but still below average. I don't know. He's more than serviceable, you know. 12 team leagues, pick him up. I kind of think he might tick down a little bit more, but this kind of looks like old Buxton.
It does. I mean, I think the thing here is just like how long until he pulls a hamstring, right? 102 games last year, played in 38 this year, but I think that's still the concern, but he is hitting the ball very well right now.
Would you take a bet that he is a 2020 guy this season? He's had 300 at bats, under 350 the last two seasons.
I think you have to, dude. Like, he's got 9 homers and 8 swipes. Like, you give him the rest of the season for 11 and 12. I think he's got that.
I kind of think he could be there too. Pretty interesting. Runs.
Gotta play the games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ohtani at the top with 9, 8. Jason Dominguez, Ryan McMahon, and Springer. Maybe talk about McMahon for a minute. Oh, yeah, you can talk about Springer. I've been trying to sell off of Springer, but he's not coming back down.
Me too. Yeah, that's kind of – I was on Fantasy Six Pack with our boy CK last week, and we were talking about Springer, and I was kind of hemming and hawing going, I don't know. The BABIP is still 385. His career is 296, right? So he's definitely overperforming. He's got 5 homers, 6 swipes. His OBP is over 400. He's hitting 297. I mean, the dude looks good right now. I don't know. I'm with you, though. I think I'm going to sell, but is it going to be one of those things where we keep saying sell and he just doesn't calm down?
Yeah, well, I had him like 3 weeks ago as a sell and he doesn't. Also, Ryan McMahon starting to pick it back up. 6 homers, 211 batting average kind of stinks. XBA is a little bit higher, but dude, 15% walk rate, 14% barrel, 94.6 average exit velocity. But strikeout rate's over 30%. His expected batting average, not great. And he's not doing much against anything but fastball. So that is probably some worrisome stuff. But he has doubled his pulled air percentage to 21.2, which is crazy, and better zone contact rate. So one thing's got to give. You got to start being that better hitter and stop striking out, or you're going to just start to regress and fall back down. You got to imagine the Rockies have to pay attention to trading him at some point soon.
You would think so. I mean, much easier to trade for Ryan McMahon than go get Devers. So,
yeah, it's true. Stolen bases, Bobby Witt with 5 Witt past week, and Matt McClain with 4.
Still anything hitting 165.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got anything on Matt McClain? Like, It's the world has turned where I was the anti McLean guy preseason. And now that everybody hates him, I'm like, I don't know, man.
I feel like we took a pretty sizable dump on Matt McLean last week, but it has not gotten better. He's still only hitting 165. He's stealing bases. He has 10. That's great. Five homers is decent, but homie's hitting 165. The BAPIP is 214. His career is 345. Like, you expect him, he ain't going to hit 165. Like, you know, he's a career 260 hitter. So that is going to come up. Is it going to come up 100 points? I don't know. We'll see. You'd have to go on a nice big heater. It's been pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm looking here. His contact rate is up to 80 now, and he's chasing. It's weird because if you look at the plate discipline, he's chasing less. I guess chase contact percentage, you might want that down. That is down. For he's swinging less at first pitches, so you're driving counts, and you're swinging less in general. But now you're whiffing more and you're striking out more and you're just not making quality of contact. And he's hitting under 200 against every pitch type, like of the three major. He is not hitting over
165. Of course he is. It's awful. Yeah.
Well, but sometimes you can have like dude hits 280 against fastballs and sucks, but everything else. If you get down to a granular where we literally look at every pitch type he's seen, he's hitting 200 against four-seam fastballs, 214 against sliders, everything else is under 170.
And he's raised his average from 159 last month to 179 in May. So we're not seeing enough improvement for Matt McLean. McLean should be firmly entrenched on a bench spot.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you do with him at that point. I don't know.
Drop him, but you gotta bench him and wait.
You don't wait in a 10 team. I'm out on a 10
team.
In
a 10 team, sure.
Who would you rather have rest of season, Matt McLean or Jacob Wilson?
Jacob Wilson. Oh.
Yeah, so you thought about it. You didn't think about it when you said that, and then you thought about it.
You're right.
That's.
I'm still going to go Matt McLean.
Matt McLean hitting under 200 has more stolen bases than homers and stolen bases by Jacob Wilson combined.
you know what? You're right. I think my initial, just it's so bad, 165. I think McLean will get better, but that one's tight. It was not tight going in at all.
You know what? I think my answer might be Jacob Wilson. Like, because I did think about that a little bit. And it's like Matt McLean can do some stuff, but I think he hurts your team more than Jacob Wilson's lack of counting stats hurts your team when he's getting on base and his batting average and stuff like that. I think it's close, but I think it might be Jacob Wilson over Matt McLean.
Too many risk bucks.
It's a lot of risk bucks in there. You put this one, I think this one's interesting. Walks, Friedel led the league with 9-7. Paredes and Rally last week had, or no, he would, Friedel had 9. Paredes and Rally had 7 last week, and then Vlad and McLean. So some of the similar numbers, guys that are getting on base right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I only keep doing the walks because I put Perdomo in there the 1 week, and I just feel like I don't want to be a hypocrite. So,
oh, you want to leave it there?
It'll kind of getting on base. Yeah.
In 2 weeks, once Perdomo's not around anymore, we'll.
What, Fernando's not around anymore? What are you talking about?
On the list. Not.
I was going to say, one of the better players in baseball right now.
I mean, Perdomo. Should we look? Has he come back down to earth a little bit? Let's see. Perdomo hitting, well, he's hitting 292 now. He was hitting well over 300. Let's
292 see. Down for Perdomo? That's the well, way up.
Actually, it is.
His career average.
Well, I don't care about his career average, but he's hitting 359 in May. So I thought he might have cooled down in May. That's not the case. He's hitting better in May than he did in April. See,
like, just something has changed for Perdomo. He had 3 bombs last year. He has 5 already. He had 9 swipes last year. He has 9 in 41 games. He only played 98 games last season, but, you know, the BAPIP is also a little bit down. It's just he's not striking out, and he's walking at a crazy rate. Swinging strike rate is 3.9%. That's got to be one of the best in the league. Like, guy is just, he's hitting.
Yeah, I'm looking to... He moved the depth, so he's closer to the plate, and he has closed his stance up a bit. It looks like he's done this over the years. It's really interesting. He's had as small of a 2-degree open stance and as big as a 13. Oh, I'm looking at this completely wrong. Shut up, Welsh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Still, some of this opens up, but look at this. He has more open stance than he's ever had as a right-handed hitter. And he has one of the most closed off stances as a left-handed hitter that he's ever had. So that's kind of the weird thing. Yeah. So I'm looking at this lefty.
This four homers as a righty, one as a lefty.
And he's more close. But what is his batting average against lefties?
388 versus lefties, 242 against righties.
Remember that thing we talked about with Ringifo a little bit where it was like you could see your approach change? Well, right. He has a dramatic difference in his stance and where he's in the box, by the way. 20.7 depth in the box as a righty, 16.4 as a lefty. So again, very significant differences he's made at different points of where he's batting, and he's kind of optimizing it. Like you said, he's losing average as he goes further in the box, I guess you would say, as a right-handed hitter, as a left, because when it shows versus righty, that means he's a lefty. So the lefty is he's hitting homers as a lefty, right?
When you want to take a good look at that bowl, it's got to be your bowl in your head.
Versus a righty, he is a lefty.
Versus righty, yes, he's a switch hitter. Yes.
So the lefty is where he's closer in the box and he's closed off his stance, and now he's hitting more homers. So now I can say that better. As a lefty, he's moving back in the box and he's opening up his stance and he's hitting a bunch more contact. So he's kind of optimizing his switch hitting ability more.
Perdomo
than
or done. Jacob Wilson Welsh. Come on.
Yeah. Ooh. Perdomo, I think.
So you would take Perdomo over McLean?
Ooh. I didn't even think about how I said
that. I trapped
that.
You. I got
Maybe.
You.
You did get me. Maybe. I mean, if Perdomo is like 90% of this the rest of the year.
Well, let's real quick, because I love Perdomo, and we're talking about too many Diamondbacks here, but also like, he's hitting 242 against righties and 388 versus lefties. Like, the overall average is going to come down. He's going to face more righties, obviously. So, you know, I'm excited. He looks great. The changes are awesome. Do I expect it to stick? Not really. You know, he's a Gold Glove defender. He's not coming out of the lineup. So that's all that really matters. Ride the wave while he's there. But do I expect it to stick? I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully. Yeah,
it's a good question. I mean, it might. It might be overinflated, but I don't know. You just look across the board. He's hitting better on the road, and he's just kind of a dude.
A much better hitter this year. But we saw Nick Ahmed go through 2 months of amazingness before being Nick Ahmed again. So I don't want to totally sell us on Perdomo here. I think it's a little bit early to do that, but he has made gigantic improvements.
But I think the thing that it's funny, you brought all those three guys up. Maybe the biggest story behind it is Matt McLean felt like this, like, oh, top 100 type of guy. Maybe he needs to be seen in the same light as those players, in that if Perdomo starts to struggle, see ya. If Jacob Wilson starts to not hit, see ya. And guess what?
Right.
Matt McLean belongs maybe in that if this keeps continuing, see ya. So it's not so much that it's like, who, Perdomo over Matt McLean, spicy, but it's more like, well, they're all like, go with the hot guy.
McLean, two more weeks before you dump him in the 12 man. Like, how much longer?
I think you could dump him right now. Honestly. Okay. I really do. Don't dump him for anything. But if Perdomo or Jacob Wilson were out there, like, why not
get someone that's hitting hot right now? Sure. Yeah, I'm with you.
What the hell's Matt McLean doing for you? Sealed base bench. When he gets, whenever
you're going to have him on your bench when he hits three homers. I know that.
So. Guaranteed. Matt McLean and Jason Dominguez. All right. Pitchers. So actually, I want to start with the big guys, and then we're going to go to the, under 50%, because there might be some ownership stuff in here. Tarik Skubal, dominant against Texas, 7 innings, 12 strikeouts, just boom. Jacob deGrom, there's talk of some velo coming up too, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts against the Tigers. Jacob deGrom, looking kind of good, Boggies.
Yeah. I mean, stay healthy, man. Get back right and stay healthy.
I have a pseudo theory. I don't know how easy it is to do this all the time, but I kind of think he might have purposely held back that velo for the first month of the season to start ramping even and even some of the pitch, because, you know, he had some pitch mix changes that he might have been playing it a little tighter the first month to start unloading, because I think his velo was up in this last start. So just be on the lookout. DeGrom might be ramping. Also might be he's going to get hurt soon, but he's ramping not a back bad up.
Thought. Yeah, yeah. Not a bad thought. Absolutely.
Carlos Rodon, 6 innings, 10 strikeouts against the, it was against the A's, but Rodon still kind of doing the thing, even though he feels a little afterthoughty for some people. 3.29 ERA, under one whip, and an expected ERA that is under three. Carlos Rodon is kind of sneaky good right now. Are you a, are mean, you a full buy?
I think you kind of have to be. He's been good as Sierra's 3.15 as well. XFIP is 3.16, 67 strikeouts in 54 innings, 11.03 K per nine, 31% strikeout rate. The walk rate is up too, so he's been a little more erratic, but everything looks so good, man. It's hard to hate on him right now, and I'm known as a Carlos Rodon hater, but he looks great. Yeah, it means he's about to get hurt.
Yeah, that is what happens with him. We're doing all this, guys. We're like, hey, Jacob DeGrom, his velo is up. It's going to get hurt. Rodon looks really good. It's going to get hurt.
Well, you know, you kind of get used to it. These guys get hurt. They're pitchers.
It looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. That type of thing.
It gets hurt. Yeah. It has Tommy John. That's right.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's the saying.
That's the saying. It's always always has been.
Ranger Suarez, 7 innings, 5 strikeouts. Interesting. I thought they already moved Taijuan Walker to the bullpen. I thought if maybe he struggled, we could see Mick Abel. But Ranger looked good. Tanner Bibee, little bounce back, but still not striking anybody out. 7 innings, 3 Ks against the Phillies. Yeah. Garrett Crochet, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts against Kansas City. He continues to roll, and I believe he's like fourth in AL Cy Young awards, which I think it's so
where
be
are you do you love it or hate it? Because before the season started, you're the Crochet guy. Yeah. You say one negative thing about him, you're the Crochet hater. So where are we?
Because everybody turned it into me hating him.
I'm
good, because now people are done being ridiculous about it. Like, I have a great bet. I have him to lead the league in strikeouts. I would like to get that bet to cash, so I want him to continue to be awesome, but it's going to be super tough with Turk Skubal out there. Super tough for him to jump up those ranks. Whereas, like, the number one, I think, is Logan Webb in the NL. And Zach Wheeler a week ago was 11-1. Like, I'd like those odds on Cy Young in the NL.
You'll appreciate this, by the way. I was watching the Tigers game when Skubal was pitching, and the announcer said,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are doing Rut-row, Shaggy. Scoob's on a roll, and I thought like of you. I know you like Scooby-Doo, so.
Row, Reggie.
Scoob's on a roll.
That was a decent Scoob,
that's
right?
Pretty good, all yes. Right.
Where are we? Logan Webb, speaking of, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts against Minnesota. Joe Ryan, 6, with 7 strikeouts against those Giants. Nate Eovaldi, 7-7 with Detroit, and Zach Wheeler, 7-8 against Cleveland. Joe's been kind of punching this narrative, and I don't think he's wrong about it. Like, Nate Eovaldi might be just one of the like most underrated pitchers. Dude, 1.78 ERA. He's got a 3.26.
Think about how great he was in their World Series role run as well. Like, Eovaldi's just a great pitcher.
He's just kind of a stud. He is kind of a stud, and he'll have like lower strikeout rates, which aren't less than super exciting, but he. 2 straight years coming into this year of 12 straight wins. He's got 4 wins already this season. Looks like he's lining up to do that again. He is such an awesome cheap buy to have in your rotation that just helps everything. It's pretty ridiculous. All right. So some weekend starts from some under-owned pitchers. I'll list some and then we'll stop on some of them. Bailey Falter, 2%. Yeah, we're using Yahoo percentages. Bailey Falter went 6, struck out 3 against Atlanta. Patrick Corbin, 7, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts against Detroit, 4%. Eric Fetty, 9, complete game with 8 strikeouts against Washington.
First complete game of his career.
which is, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Did you hear he said he saw somebody wearing his, like, dude, where the hell was he? Was it KBO or it, they saw him wearing whatever, like when he went over to Japan, they saw him wearing one of those jerseys or Korea. I don't remember. And he was just like, I knew it was going to be a good day. And he throws a complete game. But I can't get over Patrick Corbin, man. Patrick Corbin is weird. He's got a 3.13 ERA, two wins in six innings or six starts. But he's got a 4.5 ERA. He has a 1.39 whip. And he has a 14% strikeout rate and a 9% walk rate. There are some horrifically bad stuff. Yet he's maintained a low ERA. He's giving up kind of weak contact, 31% hard hit rate, low barrel and stuff like that. It's a little Jesse Pinkman. They can't keep getting away with this, but he does. Are you a buyer of Patrick Corbin?
No, not at all. Like I do. I get it. He's been great. Sierra's 5. His xFIP is 4.73. He's had, listen to some of these opponents, dude. The Cubs, who led the league in runs, great. He had a decent start against them. Four innings, three earned. Didn't strike anybody out, though. Then the Angels, the A's twice, the Mariners, and at Detroit. He hasn't played the hardest schedule so far here. Everything underlying says he's about to get blown up.
I was just about to say, feels like the next one we're getting them things are going to jiggle off the charts.
Right. Yeah. Everything
he's gonna start,
feels
he's
going to
start an OnlyFans for how those.
Yeah, dude. I'm here waiting for the blow up. I think it's coming.
Going to be running a sale. We're going to be running a 50% sale on those subscriptions of his starts after this one. Tell you what?
I'll show you how to look through the junk on there.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, I don't want to look through any of his junk. All right. Some other ones. Hunter Dobbin, 7%, six innings, six strikeouts against Kansas City. Michael Lorenzen, 14% ownership. He went 7-7, only three hits against Boston. Chris Paddock is still hanging around, only 3% owned. 7 1/3, six strikeouts against the Giants. Sugano, 7 1/3, three hits, one earned run, five strikeouts against the Angels. Let's stop on Sugano. He'd also mentioned, I think his interpreter had mentioned, whatever, that they made like a change. They saw some change early on. And what's interesting about it is it might equate to more strikeouts because like he started the season with, I mean, through.
He had eight strikeouts through five starts.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I was getting to. But over his last three, 8, 4, and 5, right, he's been more efficient. He's given up three total earned runs. And you dropped him, I'm guessing. Wait, hold on.
After the one strikeout game.
Oh, really? Well, he had a couple of those, unfortunately. He had three of those. But April 28th is where I think that change incorporated. And he's given up only three earned runs over his last three starts.
Yeah, I think I dumped him on April 27th, and then eight strikeouts, no runs, six innings, four strikeouts, two runs, five strikeouts, one run, 7 1/3.
Has not given up more than three earned runs this season and has given up only three walks over his last five starts.
Yeah. I mean, he looks fine. Still 26 strikeouts and 46 1/3 innings. So,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
What's up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, episode 800. It doesn't actually mean anything. It's just a nice even number. It's just a nice old clean even number. Every time you get to those hundreds, it is Bogman. It is the Welsh. And we have one of our favorite people in the industry joining us in here in 1 second. But episode 800, Bogman, you and I have done upwards of probably close to 3,000. It got to be 3,000 shows between what we've done on Fantasy Pros, what we used to do on the Black Book Show. We're in the 600s on football. We did basketball, baseball. This is the most we have done of any individual show, though. None of the other shows get to this number, 800. Congratulations, Bogman.
Yeah, we did it. Congrats. We did it. We made it to 800. We're still in triple digits, though. 200 more to go to get to that illustrious four digits. But yeah, it's been a fun ride. We're here. I think we're going into the Hall of Fame right now. I think that's where
else. As soon as we're dead, if we die, only if we die, we can get into the Hall of Fame.
Right. I know a lot of people have a lot of big opinions on that. I used to be big on Hall of Fame eligibility. I just don't care anymore.
Who's the person who has the least interest in the Hall of Fame that you know in your life?
You.
Me. I have the least interest in the Hall of Fame, and I have been more embroiled in it in the last 24 hours than I absolutely care to be. I'm sure you have a well-curated
and thought out process of why these guys should or should not get into the Hall of Fame, right, Welsh?
Yeah, I've got it all written.
Heard the news yesterday, right?
I've done lots of studying.
You did a whole dissertation for it. Is that correct?
What I've done is I've done what every real smart person does out there, and I let what every single internet commenter has to say, I let that be my decision and my choice. Oh. So what they say, because they're the smartest, I let them dictate what I should think, of course. Yeah. We are going to talk about it with the great Casey Bubba. But want to remind you guys, Patreon, go to InThisLeague.com. You guys can sign up today. You can support us, which is a nice, easy thing. And it's just nice. You're just a nice person. You're great. But you deserve to go in the Hall of Fame when you do that. Hall of Nice. And if you do that, you'll also get some stuff, not the Hall of Fame, but the Patreon, InThisLeague.com. We got the top 500 prospect and dynasty update that's coming here soon. I've got the weekly sheet where I do some prospects for redraft and prep. We got GroupMe rooms where you can have access to us and more. We very much appreciate when you come and check it out, InThisLeague.com. Sign up today. Don't wait just because baseball season is in mid-form. We got lots of stuff. And you guys can check out all the stuff I got going on the live streams, twitch.tv/InThisLeague and youtube.com/InThisLeague for live streams a week. I'll be back on Thursday. Okay. This is going to be a little bit different or weirder of a show because we're not going to do like all the news and all the stuff. We're going to talk about one thing at the top, and then we are getting into player debates. Joining us for player debates is the great and powerful KC Bubba. Bubba's in the house. Bubba here for number 800. I'm not sure I could think of anybody else. I mean, probably the people that should be here for those singular like 100, 200, 300 would be with a bald head. It would be like you were a piece of pia. I am so great and thankful to have you here, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations. As someone that does a lot of podcasting like you guys, that's pretty awesome. 800 is quite the deal. So congrats and thanks.
I thought Welsh was just saying how much we weigh combined.
So,
I mean, I thought this is a three-man tag coming in at over 800.
We might overpass it.
Might be light. Yeah,
we might be light on this one. What's higher, the episode count or the weight? I don't know, but
we're gonna be toeing the line, literally.
But
thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome. 800. That is absolutely amazing. And the best part about it, there's no debate on who some of the best guys are in this industry, and that's you two. So,
that is very nice.
What are you writing Mother's Day cards recently? What is this all about?
How wonderful. That'll be a funny thing. And like,
always got to have it.
You know, it'd be a really interesting debate. Like, in 10 years or so, like, you know, will any of our crew be out there, you know, like inducted into like the fan? I don't even know what versions of there's like FSWA and all that. Like, I'm not even
going to hang my red polo in the rafters. Welsh, that's what they're going to do.
You're right. Like, okay. Who do you think of the
Steelers hat is red polo?
Of the like independent people, like, you know, cause like Eno doesn't count. Nick definitely doesn't count. Like, they're big. I mean, maybe he does, because they're independent.
There's not many of us.
Nick
man.
Might count.
He Nick might count. Maybe Spore counts. And that might be your answer. Cause I was gonna say, who is the like crew of like our world, the first one that gets inducted?
It'd be Nick or Spore. Mason will be close.
Yeah.
I think
that's the crew.
I think Spore goes before me. I think Spore might be at the top, probably like, you know, because Nick's got his hands in lots of baseball stuff with lots of those different groups. So it's probably like Nick, Spore, those are at the tippy top. Maybe next is like a Mason, because Mason's pretty heavily involved. You know,
Mason's already got the Laura Michaels Award for all the charity stuff he does. So that might is the thing.
And then like the three of us will just complain until we're dead at somewhere in our 60s.
Yeah, we'll get our FSWA awards that we, you know, always get nominated for. And we'll be in the Hall of Fame with the same. It'd be like a duel. They just knock it all out at once, kind of like Earthquake and Typhoon just got in a little WWE Hall of Fame post-mortem. Yeah. Let's just give it to them now. It's like, here you go.
Well, no, we'll probably, if it goes anything like the real Hall of Fame, we'll be dead. And then they'll give it to our family, which is like, what the hell is this? What absurd thing is this? So
less than 10 years is what you're saying.
Bachman, great grandkids get to accept it. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Like, who is, like, someone make a list, like top five of the more like independent.
We're definitely
like,
forgetting a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, there's no, like, there's also
there's
like
Clegg, there's Cross.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like, would you count like CBS? Would you count like Frank and Scott? Because like, I think Scott would be one of those guys, but they're also like the behemoth of like, how would you define? CBS, I guess Scott White is, and Scott is above our era. He was before our era. Our era is like the, I mean, sport was kind of as well, but it was like, it's like Nick, Justin Mason, Clegg, Cross. I think Stamps, I think Frankie Stamps gets to be in kind of that same, like our class of prospect, or our class of fantasy analysts that came out with it within like at least 3 years.
Joey P, of course. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I guess Joey was the same time. I sometimes think he was a little before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Fun conversation to a not fun conversation. We are going to do this for a second. I have done a lot of it. I'm pretty disinterested from it. Bogman had this on here. It's created so much debate to hear your take on it. The Pete Rose stuff. I gotta be honest with you. I just don't pay attention to a lot of the, especially like, what are the qualifications of Hall of Fame? I could literally care less on like the qualifications. So I don't pay attention to it. Like half the time I got to go and look, be like, what do the guys statistically do? And sometimes you're like, wow. And then you look at play. Like, you know, the last Hall of Fame thing I even did, I had this moment where I was like, is Ketel Marte going to be a Hall of Famer? And I thought about it and I went and looked at his stats and I'm like, ooh, I don't think he can. He's not even at 200 homers. Well, yeah. That was the point.
Probably
I was like,
won't be.
Could he get there? Because I think he could go down as the second greatest Diamondback of all time after Corbin Carroll in his Hall of Fame career.
Paul Goldschmidt.
But I was like, could Ketel Marte? And I was looking at his stats and I was like, man, he's 31. He's got like 170 homers. Like maybe he can get to 300, but he doesn't steal. Like it just looks like it's not going to happen. But that's the level of how much I dig into it. I did not realize the chaos of how people feel. And I also don't think I ever realized the insanity of what is surrounded around Pete Rose, because Rob Manfred just drops this bomb on baseball and just says, as soon as they're dead, now we will lift the ban because the ban is a lifetime. And I was like, that's kind of morose and weird and stuff like that. The only reaction I had was how silly and stupid it was that you're going to make players eligible for things once they're dead. And I was like, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Never did I think about the logistics of like what Pete Rose has done or Shoeless Joe Jackson. Or I didn't care. I didn't think about it. I was just like, Manfred's making kind of a dumb, stupid decision on death. Like if you're ever going to celebrate a player, just like maybe celebrate them when they're alive and figure it out. But it's so much bigger. It's so much crazier. And especially the Pete Rose specifically, I have seen in multiple live streams and chats, Joe Errico got into it. We talked about it on a live stream. So, Boggs, I'll throw it to you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey! Do you have any takes on this that are far beyond me? Because you know I don't really care so much about the Hall of Fame. Are you offended by this? Are you what is your
look? I am no longer offended by any Hall of Fame thing. I used to be pretty sanctimonious about it. Like I didn't want the steroid guys in. I don't want the gamblers in. I don't really care anymore. I will say this. I think if you are going to keep some people out of the Hall of Fame because of what they did to the game specifically, the gamblers can't go in. That is my thought. The 1919 Black Sox scandal almost ruined baseball forever for everybody, right? And the reason the rules were so strict was because that almost killed baseball as a sport. Babe Ruth saved it with the home run chase after that, which is why everybody loves, you know, Babe Ruth. But the gambling stuff literally almost took the game away from us. That's why in baseball, the golden rule is you cannot bet on games you play.
You can't Like, you cannot compromise the game, intentionally.
Right. And exactly.
Yeah. To Pete Rose, to him, and Pete Rose, not to like retread it, but like, obviously, you know, he bet on baseball. You can argue, did it affect blah, 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 but he bet on baseball. So it falls in line with the Shoeless Joe Jackson stuff.
And I understand the hypocrisy of that rule now that baseball is in bed with every single gambling outlet you can have. I get that. I understand it. But I mean, to keep the game above board, they have these strict restrictions, right? That they're unbelievably staunch about that stuff. And just all of a sudden on a random Tuesday in the middle of May, we're going to just rip that all out. I thought it was out of nowhere and crazy. And, you know, Pete Rose just lied about everything. So we're really taking his word that he says, I never bet against my own team. Well, first it was, I never bet on baseball. And then it was, I did bet on baseball because I want to sell this book. Please read it. Right. So I think Pete Rose going in, Shoeless Joe going in, I don't really like the steroid stuff. Okay. I could care less about anymore.
So there's one little caveat, and maybe I read this wrong, because I want to get Bubba's take here. Because you're jumping to what I think Arrico did. And unfortunately, I had this revelation of what we were talking after we dropped off air of the live stream. They're not going in. They're eligible,
of course.
And
yeah,
Joe is having this big thing, and maybe you are on this take where he's like, and him and one of our producers, they're like, he's getting in, and I was like, guys, I bet them money. I bet Arrico money. There is 0.0% chance if what A, the gambling stuff, but B, the other stuff that apparently everyone in the world but me and Bubba knew about the. You know, with the underage stuff and all that, the gross stuff.
The really bad stuff.
I didn't know about any of that until literally yesterday, but people didn't believe that. If that's true and the gambling is actually true, do you think that the morally superior, and I'm not saying they have to be morally above that. I'm just saying like writers will, if they hear a whiff of a player doing steroids, never will they get any votes. Do you think those voters are going to vote for Pete Rose or Shoeless Joe Jack? You think they're going to vote for them just because it's now eligible? Hell to the no.
I don't know, man. I heard Bob Costas yesterday say that he's going to vote for these guys. So I wouldn't be shocked, because there's people that they separate what you do on the field versus what you do outside of it.
And but I think that is to them. And let's get Bubba. I think that's a legitimate discussion. And that's where I think some of the people that are getting into, because I could care less at the end of the day. Now we're in talking point range.
It's just,
but
that's
where
story.
That's where, like, I think Arrico got into it, and some people get into it where there is a difficulty separating what the player did on the field and off the field, because on the field, there's no argument. Pete Rose would be a Hall of Famer if we did on the field.
Of course.
The off the field is what's holding it back. And those discussions get super muddy. But same thing, Bubba, your take. You and I were talking off air. We didn't know some of the stuff that was kind of intertwined in that. I'm curious at your take on it. And what do you think about what I said? Like, all they're doing is they're lifting the ban so they can go on the card. Do you? I think there is 0.0% chance either one of them are ever elected if all of these things are accurate enough, because all the writers need is a whiff of controversy to never vote a player in.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting. So I told you I didn't know about the other stuff with Pete, which is obviously not great. With what's being told out there. Yeah, just trying to, But the thing that I put out there is like, okay, the moral police, that is the voters, they always say, oh, you took steroids, can't have you. And like Bonds, Clemens, these guys like should be in the Hall of Fame unless, you know, whatever. But if they don't let them in, it's very difficult to see them going, oh, look at the gamblers could come walking on in. That seems pretty freaking. But the one thing I'll say is, remember, most of these voters are olds. They're olds.
Yeah.
And they're olds that actually watched Pete Rose and loved Pete Rose and thought he was one of the best hitters, because he was one of the best hitters ever. So that could throw a loop, and like the cautious thing is interesting, because he's very anti-Bonds part of this.
Maybe I'm mistaking him for somebody else, but I'm almost positive I heard him say he'd vote for him. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. The one that I'm interested in is like Pete. He one of the greatest players ever, shouldn't be in the Hall. Period. I'm interested to see this Shoeless Joe discussions, because if anything you've watched back in the day, the dude didn't even know he was gambling on it. Like he was just so like illiterate and he couldn't even sign his name. He just wanted to play baseball and his team. So it depends on what you believe in that, obviously. None of the voters, well, maybe they're alive. Who knows? That one's going to be interesting because I think he has a chance to get in before Pete in between the two of them if they get in. But I mean, to your point, they just got reinstated. And that's all it is. People are like jumping to conclusions.
2027 is when they would be back on the ballot. Dude. And that was the discussion we had off air where these guys are like, I can't believe they're going to get in the Hall of Fame. I was like, they're not. Like, and no. If they are, by the way, it would be 5 years. That would be the only time I would probably step in and be like, okay, what are we doing? Like, you're going to let these guys in, but you're not going to let the greatest hitter of our lifetime or anyone's lifetime, Barry Bonds, steroids or not. You're not going to let him in, but you're going to let like all this horrible stuff in. That's where I would draw a line.
There are guys in the Hall of Fame right now that did steroids. The reason that Barry, the reason that Barry's not in is not because he did steroids. It's because he was a prick to the all the media for his entire career. And he burned every bridge he possibly could. And these are the people that vote. I don't think it's same thing with Roger Clemens. I don't think it has anything to do with them doing steroids. I think it's like, yeah, you were a dick to these people that are in your life every day for 20 years.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! And now they have something that they can hold against you. They're going to. That's why I think Barry's
it's not in, what's interesting what Welsh said is like, how do you know what the criteria is per se? Because like, if this is the NFL, dude, you've seen the Cowboys are in the freaking Hall of Fame, Michael Irvin and those boys. And like, so they clearly don't care about the off the field stuff over there. They just want what you did between the lines. Baseball seems to have a code of ethics involved. That's the unwritten rules of the Hall of Fame, essentially. So
I hate the unwritten rules of the road. You know, I don't remember if this was on air or off air, but this was said to me. Let's just say by somebody that they're like, if the voting happened for OJ after all that stuff, he wouldn't have got in. And I was like, listen, that's just crazy because OJ did it, but guess what? He got acquitted. Do you think that there would only be a moral clause if after all that stuff, the Hall of Fame stuff came up and then they're like, we're not going to let you in after he was acquitted. Like, that's not even like comparison. Like, what are you talking about? That's not even close to comparison. If you're trying to play.
And by the way, he's still in the Hall of Fame and he had his Heisman taken away. So like,
yeah, they haven't rescinded that.
Some places don't.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like the moral clauses to think like, okay, cheating on the game is very straightforward. Like, oh, you cheated on the game. You were caught. Like, you can't get in. Like, that makes sense to me. But then when you have like morality things from really heavy, bad accusational ones to like Barry Bonds is just a dickhead and they don't like it. Like having that play into it, like you need to make it like really, really clear and apparent. And maybe I just don't know because I don't care about the Hall of Fame. Or you need to you need to get rid of it. Like very clear and not be ambiguous about it.
Right. And there's a very big, you know, group of people that say, look, because of exactly what you said, I'm not going to keep up with the off-field antics of every single one of these players. I'm only voting on what I saw between the lines. You have people that do that, but you also have people that say, well, I can't vote in a man that I despise. And they have that. So there's no, you're right.
I don't think there's clarity.
And there isn't. That's the biggest.
I think you have voters doing different things. I think you have some voters that are like, I'm only voting on this. And I think that is what stinks. And it comes back to the last thing, the only thing that I cared about was like, the hell is Manfred doing? Like, what are we talking about? It's always messy. Why is it always messy? We should have clarity there. Why is this happening now? You're also highlighting. You're just like, haha, when they're dead. And it's just like, what?
If he was smart, he would have done this during the Super Bowl.
Well, and the Black Sox guys, they've been dead for a long time. So how do they get roped into this all of a sudden with Pete Rose? There's something going on.
The emperor just makes a proclamation here. And you know what? When you're dead, that's the end of your lifetime ban. And I guess we just have to accept it now.
You know what's so funny about it? And this is the last thing. I know this is fantasy baseball and people don't care about this, but it's been so like intertwined. The thing that I think is interesting is like, I'm cool with whatever you're like, overarching feeling is like if you want to be like, hey, the Pete Rose specifically, who he was as a player deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Or if you want to say that, like, he cheated the game, he was also a scumbag, he never deserves it. Like, you're entitled to however you feel about all those things. I think it's fine. What I am perturbed about, and maybe in, I haven't really had many people come at me. There's like one guy in a chat that was like, you didn't know that Pete Rose, I knew about the cheating, I know about the other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't. I don't like the ambiguity of things. I like clarity, and there isn't clarity. It's, I've always hated how I just don't think writers should have a decision in it, because they're all weird and different. And then you had,
it's personal.
Who is the guy? Yeah. Who's the guy that would be like, I don't fill out my thing. Like, you're making a joke.
Levitard.
I think that's ridiculous.
Well, they took his vote away, I think.
So. Having a lack of clarity on things across the board and not uniformity, I think makes it messy, and it makes it hard to take serious. And that's why I don't take it serious, and I don't care about it, because it doesn't seem that is respected. It's a weird game. And then on top of it, you drop a note that's like, hey, you can do whatever you want. As soon as you're dead, we'll just put it back up there. Like, that just is weird. I thought it was super weird.
It is weird. I guess the point of it, if you just step back and look, I still think it's weird. But the point of it is, it's an honor to go in the Hall of Fame. So we're saying you do not get this honor because of what you did. But if the story of baseball can't be written without Pete Rose, can't be written without Barry Bonds, right? Like, if you're writing the history of the game, those guys have to go in there. So I understand it from that perspective and standpoint. It's still a weird place to do it. On a Tuesday in May, out of nowhere, just this news comes out. Very weird thing to happen. And also, it doesn't change the way that people vote. It's still up to them. It's still up to the writers to vote. So, yeah, I don't...